Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Capp.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collin.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to
The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I'm, of course, your host, Troy Murphy. And this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Thursday nights from 6 p.m. is the place to be as we catch up on all the weird, wacky, and wonderful news from around the world, as well as touching on the more serious news, too, because it's out there. We need to look at it. Big thank you to Jamie Sims for taking on the first hour of Drive. And as always, I'd like to start the show off with a little bit of a personal story. And this week is no different, as this week, the unit block I live in down in Cronulla had our annual council cleanup, and it was wacky. Wacky with a capital W. I took the experience to social media, to the Anything Sutherland Shire Facebook page. Love the page, regular poster, love the conversation. But I tell you what, some of the responses I got were even weirder than the council cleanup itself. Let me explain. The post I made reads, "Council cleanups are insane. What is wrong with people? We have had people digging through the pile of trash into the crazy hours of the night, tearing through garbage bags, leaving mess everywhere, pulling apart neatly stacked piles, neighbours adding to the pile with no care for where they put things or the damage they do to the front of property, and worse, the erratic driving of scavengers hitting parked cars in the street. I understand times are tough and people might be looking for something to help them through whatever they're going through. But have some respect for the block you're making a mess of and the poor collectors who have to clean it up." The post continues. "Also, is there an app or a page where cleanups are announced? I'm on a not very busy street and there has been a steady stream of people coming and going for the past 24 hours. End post. It turns out there are many Facebook pages where scavengers post pictures and addresses for other scavengers to go visit. And that they did." You know, as a unit block down in Cronulla, we're a pretty organised group. We actively meet, we discuss things like our council cleanup, and we're all in a group chat on WhatsApp and communicate there. Renters, owners, we all do our bit. And, you know, we had a pretty well-organized cleanup. We all helped each other move heavy items. We stacked it all as best we could as per council requirements. In fact, we even discussed what we were all taking out. Like, people had mattresses and lounges and some white goods. And so we had the discussion of when we were putting all our trash out. It's like, all right, we've got to make sure that there's room here for all this and room for that, and that should go down there. And this, because council also, despite only suggesting, well, they suggest it, but they also say you can be fined. You're only allowed to take things out the night before, the day before the council cleanup. And I did not know this. I always thought the cleanup was first thing in the morning. They came and collected all the trash first thing in the morning. Turns out they collect all day up until about 2:30. So ours wasn't taken till 1 o'clock, which added to the craziness of the cleanup and why I'm ranting about it here on the show this week. The requirements, though, the council has a picture that they send out as well as part of their package for a council cleanup, is that, you know, you have to have everything stacked in certain spots. So we followed that. We're good people. We try to be good people. Anyway, not long after we'd taken all of our stuff out, that's when the carnage started happening. Now, the worst, despite depart cars being hit by bad drivers were the people who deliberately opened, not just opened, tore open all the garbage bags and threw everything around without cleaning up after themselves. And I'm talking the, you know, the big black, red tie, plastic bags full of stuff. You know, stuff that wanted to be thrown away in a council cleanup. People ripping through that and spreading it far and wide. It was an horrible sight. And that was the point of my post that I made, the disrespect. Look, I have no issue with rehoming people's unwanted items as opposed to it going to landfill, but have some respect, people. I certainly did. I certainly rebagged the rubbish that was thrown all over the place at least three or more times in the less than 24 hours that the rubbish was out there, because I like a clean place and I want, you know, to be easy for the garbage people to take. Because we've all, I don't know about you, but, you know, council can decide, so the drivers can decide what they take and don't take. Admittedly, they should be taking it all, but they can also make decisions on, well, we're not going to take that. And I would assume that having to clean up rubbish that's not bagged would justify them not taking that trash as part of the council cleanup, which then means the block would be left with that rubbish to dispose of itself, despite having organised a council cleanup, or because of the disrespect of scavengers who have gone through and torn through everything. Anyway, that didn't happen, thank goodness, because I was very active going out there and shooing people away and rebagging stuff. A lot of bags went through, a lot of bags I went through. But the comments under my post that I posted to Facebook, I tell you what, some people really need to learn how to read what was written and then learn how to show a basic level of understanding of what they are reading before commenting and projecting their own, whatever their problem is, in the comment section. Because that was clearly evident. So many people posting comments or responses off track, missing the point of the post, and worse, mostly men just being douchebags with their comments. Now, when I say projecting, I mean comments like this one. It reads, "How about instead of relying on council to dispose of your rubbish, you find a way to rehome, reuse and recycle all your own waste? Personally, I find it shocking how many people just dump their unwanted house goods, personal items onto the curb, not caring that it will go to landfill. Then complain about people collecting their trash. Think before you buy and buy less. Hashtag war against waste." This is projection, ladies and gentlemen, them, they and all, of the highest level. Projecting their own moralistic high self-worth and grandstanding on an issue at the highest level. The high road had been tooketh. Taken. Talk about missing the point. Missed it by that much. Close but no cigar. The problem is, as a comment under the post, it has nothing to do with the post. So I replied, you know, I like to cause, I enjoy causing, stirring the pot on social media. It's a fun pastime. I know it's sad. But anyway, I wrote, look, I wasn't complaining about people collecting the trash. I have no issue with that. By all means, rehome and recycle. If you read the post again, the issue taken is the disrespect displayed after going through the pile. She didn't respond after that one. I think she might, it didn't read it or got the message. Worse, comments coming from those who want to try to advise. I love people on social media who like to impart their wisdom after not reading the post properly. The advice that people gave in majority was only put the rubbish out the day before. Which of course we did, because that's the rules. The rules. And I also kind of indicated that in the post. I didn't quite think that I'd need to, you know, state that, because it was obvious. And there was also the reference to 24 hours, which I thought, you know, people might be smart enough to read through the lines, but clearly not, because everyone kept advising to only put it out the day before. Thank you, Captain Officers! You know, even though things were only put out 24 hours before, well, less than 24 hours before the pickup, it doesn't stop the scavengers from posting photos and the addresses that bring on the onslaught of people arriving by the truck and trailer load to go through the trash. Something maybe for council to consider, because even after council came and collected everything, we were very lucky that they did collect everything, because you always hear the stories of non-residents adding things to, you know, neighbours adding things to the pile that are not part of the list of things that get collected, leaving you with the responsibility of getting rid of it. Absolute nightmare situation. Thank goodness that did not happen. Now, of course, there were some great comments and helpful advice. One guy suggested that you put the more desirable stuff towards the curb and the bags of trash at the back on top of a large drop cloth to make it easier to clean up after the inevitable scavenging. The point of this mini rant, and it's been going on, I think we've just gone past the 10-minute mark. Other segments will be cut. The point of this mini rant at the beginning of the show, if you are one of these people who goes around collecting stuff from your council cleanups, have some respect for people's property. And I don't mean the property of the trash. You know, we've given that out. We've given that up. It's to go to the trash, or for people who want to reuse or recycle. I'm talking about the physical front of house or unit block. Have some respect for the people who have to clean everything up after you tear through everything and spread it far and wide. Anyway, hashtag that is rant over. As we move on to a lighter note, as we do celebration of the day, as always here on the Troy Murphy Show. Every day is a celebration. And today, the 19th day of January in the year 2023, we celebrate Brew a Potion Day. Yes, Brew a Potion Day. Now, I'm talking about the kind that the wizards and the witches brew up as part of pop culture, you know, to bring magic and mischief into the fictional world. I don't know about you, but as a child, did you do this as well? I don't know. But as a child in the bath, you know, there were many shampoo and conditioner bottles wasted brewing bath time potions. You know, you turn upside down, you squeeze it into the water and you brew potions and you make bubbles. Anyway, as part of Brew a Potion Day, it brings us to this week's top five, as we do for Brew a Potion Day, the top five wizards and witches in pop culture, starting with number five.
Five.
Gandalf, played by Ian McKellen from The Lord of the Rings.
Four.
The beautiful Hallowell sisters in the TV show Charmed.
Three.
Albus Dumbledore from Harry Potter. There are so many witches and wizards in Harry Potter. I could only pick one, and maybe I chose the right one. I don't know. I guess he was the greatest wizard of all time, technically, to the books. So that's why he got chosen.
Two.
Samantha Stevens, played by Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched.
One.
And number one, my favorite witch of all time, the Wicked Witch of the West, played by Margaret Hamilton in The Wizard of Oz. On the show this week, oh, crazy show, we're going to talk about men with sports cars and how a new study has found that they're really trying to make up for something by owning a sports car. And we'll discuss, is J.K. Rowling really transphobic? Yeah, that old one, it's doing the rounds again, so we're going to take a look at the facts. The Court of Public Opinion is in session as we take a look at US politics. In weird news, we talk about how cake in the workplace is now believed to be as bad as passive smoking. Yes, weird news. We look at it tonight, as well as our weekly regulars. Have your say. Some of the strange news stories that you may have missed, plus so much more. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the show, responsibly. Don't try this at home.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Never miss a show? Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SR.com.au homepage program guide.
Ponder this. Your alarm sound is technically your life's theme song. Every episode starts with it. Ponder that. Let's take a look at the weather. Tomorrow, Friday, it will be a partly cloudy day. Slight 30% chance of a shower. Winds southerly, 15 to 25 kilometres per hour. Turning southeasterly, 20 to 30 kilometres per hour in the early afternoon with a top temperature of 24 degrees. The weekend, Saturday, partly cloudy, tops of 25 degrees. And then on Sunday, an 80% chance of showers with light winds and a top temperature of 24. Monday of next week, showers and a top temp of 24 degrees.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under, we knew it was true and studies now confirm it. This is a fun segment. Let me read the article as published by the Daily Mail so you too can laugh like I'm laughing. According to research from the University College of London, UCL, there is a correlation between owning a flashy vehicle and believing one's man junk is smaller than average. Yeah. We're talking about the myth. Not the myth. The suggestion. There's the social construct that men who own sports cars are compensating for not having much in the pants. And this new study has kind of proved it. The new study aimed to see if there really was a link between sports car ownership and perceived male appendage size. For the study, psychologists recruited 200 English-speaking men between the ages of 18 and 74 years to complete an online test. Participants were first shown a statement for a period of 7 seconds before this screen was replaced by an image of a product. They then had to move a slider to show how much they wanted to purchase the product, which could either be an everyday item or a luxury good. Finally, another statement would appear on the screen and the participants had to say whether this was the same or different to the one shown on the first screen. This is going somewhere, trust me. We're setting up the study baseline here. The participants were told that these statements were facts and that the test was to investigate how people remembered facts at the same time as shopping for products. However, the statements weren't always factual. One of the statements falsely relayed the average size of men's private parts. Some participants were told it was 7.1 inches, while others were told it was 4 inches. Those who were told that it was on the lower value were made to feel relatively better about themselves while completing the task. However, those told it was the higher value were intentionally made to feel like their man parts were below average in size. Participants were always shown an image of a sports car between being given their two statements regarding male appendage size and had to indicate their desire to buy it. When the team analysed the results, they saw that men over 30 who were made to feel like their man junk was below average were more likely to want to buy the sports car. Additionally, men who were made to feel like they were larger in the tackle department tended to show a decreasing interest in luxury vehicles as they got older. Now, whilst the study is yet to be peer-reviewed, this is an official study. That's why we're talking about it. I know it's an interesting topic, or a sensitive or a somewhat weird topic, but a study has been done. Science and psychology is involved. It's reportable. While the study is yet to be peer-reviewed, the authors say that the results raise, no pun intended, intriguing questions for the future. I honestly don't think I need to comment on this, not one word, except for maybe we all knew it was true, and maybe a long P.S. for the record, I've never nor have ever wanted a sports car ever in my life. I love old beat up cars. I don't know why. I just like old cars. Anyway, here's a kicker. Yesterday, I posted a comment to the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page asking who would love to own a sports car. I think I've had a couple of comments. I don't think people are biting on this one, but if we get some good results, I'll let you know the results at the end of the show. I'm terrible. Stick around. Coming up next, the big breaking news of the day.
Stay tuned. More from the Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2ssr.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
2SSR FM 99.7.
Never miss a beat. Follow the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Search the Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. When hard food goes stale, it gets soft. But when soft food goes stale, it gets hard. Ponder that.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6pm.
Let's put our serious hats on as we take a look at what's making news today. I've got the paper in front of me, and you know, some days I question society and the importance we put on topics that make news, because I'm looking at the Daily Telegraph at the moment and the cover is a beat-up story about cricketer Michael Clarke and TV host Karl Stefanovic having a fight in the park. Look, I know they're high-profile Aussies, but seriously, who cares? Clearly a lot of people, because it was decided that that would make people want to pick up the paper and buy it. I don't get it. Maybe that's why I'm not rating high, because of the importance that I place on news being the weird, wacky and wonderful and the more serious stuff, as opposed to the lighthearted, well, not really lighthearted, but the scandalous drama created by a cricketer and a TV host. Anyway, other big news today is the flow-on reporting of the Qantas flight that had to make a Mayday call This broke yesterday when one of the engines blew during a flight carrying 145 passengers to Sydney from Auckland. It is reported that the passengers on board were not told by the crew whilst airborne that one of the plane engines had failed. And even though it was yesterday's news, the flow on from personal accounts of the passengers is what's breaking today. Of course, glad to hear that everyone's okay. Everyone survived. Plane didn't crash. And well done to the pilot for safely landing the plane. But questions do need to be asked. How does the world's safest airline, Australia's own Qantas, have an engine blow during a flight? And could you imagine? Anyway, there's probably a good reason why they weren't told that an engine had blown mid-flight. Imagine the panic and anxiety it would cause in the cabin. Over at Twitter HQ making news today, Elon Musk is auctioning off memorabilia, fancy office furniture and professional kitchen equipment from Twitter's offices in San Francisco. After slashing the company's workforce, falling behind on rent and contract obligations. Some of the items going on sale now with big bids include a Twitter bird statue. And that's going for upwards of $30,000. A commercial dehydrator. A semi-automatic espresso machine and a whole heap of office chairs. Let's just look at this. A Twitter bird statue. Really? Someone wants to pay $30,000 for that? Oh, I guess people are obsessed with the platform. I'm not. I don't understand it. I understand the platform. I don't understand wanting to buy a statue of a bird. What is this? A semi-automatic espresso machine? That sounds like it should be a concealed weapon. not something that makes your cup of joe. And a commercial dehydrator. I know they had it pretty sweet in those offices. But oh my goodness. A commercial dehydrator. Yeah, you can get little dehydrators that dehydrate your food. But this is a commercial grade dehydrator. Imagine going to an office, like, you know, to work. And you've got a commercial dehydrator. You know, you pop your afternoon snacks in the dehydrator when you get into... Just buy it already dehydrated from the supermarket. Why be douchebaggery about it? No wonder why Twitter didn't do so well. Anyway, closer to home, in fact, all across Australia, large parts of Australia are about to be lashed with serious and powerful thunderstorms. The East Coast is set to be barred with rainstorms and strong winds tomorrow. Now, despite Sydney reaching 30 degrees for the first time in almost a year. How crazy is that? We've had summer. We're in the middle of summer and we've only just reached 30 degrees in Sydney as a top temperature. I think it was only like 30.1 degrees. So it was like just a fraction over the mark. On Wednesday, in over a year. That's crazy. Temperatures are already starting to drop, as we've reported in the weather earlier. And a trough is about to go over New South Wales, which will bring rain to the northeast of the state and gusty southerly winds along the north coast, with heavy rains forecast for Sydney tomorrow. Now, that's what's happening. That's what's the big breaking news across Australia today. Coming up next on the show, the Court of Public Opinion is in session as we take a look at the double standards of US politics.
Catch up with all the latest news from The Troy Murphy Show. Visit www.thetroymurphyshow.com.
Ponder this. Cowboys go yeehaw, but ninjas go hee-haw.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
The The Court of Public Opinion is in session. Double standards in US politics this week, so grab the popcorn as we take a look at Joe Biden's, I was going to say latest blunder, but there's been actually a few since then, and how the handling of it is further proof that the Court of Public Opinion has double standards depending on which side of politics that you're on. Oh, the Court of Public Opinion, I love you and I hate you sometimes. As the US President, Mr. Biden himself, is embroiled in a classified documents scandal. What? Weren't we only talking about this a few months ago with the other guy, you know? The big orange one? The story thus far, 6 days before the US midterm elections, Biden's personal lawyers unexpectedly found classified documents from his time in the Obama administration at the Penn Biden Center think tank in Washington, D.C., where he had an office after his vice presidential term. Interesting. While the records were handed back to the National Archives immediately, it took until January 9 for Biden's lawyers to make the discovery public, and they only did so after the media got wind of the story. But even then, they admitted the fact that additional documents were also found in the garage of the Biden home in Wilmington, Delaware, on December 20. You know, like a garage where you put your power tools and paint and your bikes and you park your car that anyone has access to, including his own son who was living there for a while. We all know about him and his laptop. Ooh. Images I wish I've never seen. Damn me and my curiosity. Yeah, it wasn't until January 12, after further media reports, that Biden's lawyers confirmed that only a small number of additional classified documents were found at two locations in the president's home. And the key thing is small documents. That's what they're really pushing here, because here's the kicker and the big question, or questions. What did the documents contain? Was national security compromised? Who had access to them? What drove the initial search at Biden's old office in the first place? Why did the White House wait several months to disclose the material that had been found? And have there been any more searches? And of course, how is this double standards? The reason for this segment. It's double standards because we saw how Trump was treated when classified documents were found in his home. Now, whatever you do, don't conflate this as support for Trump. It's simply addressing the issue of double standards in the media. In life, really. Everywhere. In politics, life, media. The media went after Trump big time. Politically, the Biden administration used this as a smoking gun and sent the FBI in. Even Biden went on TV, I think it was like the US equivalent of 60 Minutes, saying, you know, how could you do this? How could you be so... I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember the interview in full, but it was on the lines of, how could you be so stupid to have leave classified documents in your home? That's going to blow back in his face. Now, of course, there are many differences between Trump's case and Biden's case, both in terms of the smaller number of documents in the president's possession compared to Trump, and the fact that Biden's lawyers handed over the material as soon as they were found. But fundamentally, the underlining truth is that they both had classified documents when they should not have. So, FBI investigation for Trump, but no FBI investigation for Biden. Double standards. But here's what we really need to go. Regardless of whether there was hundreds of documents in Trump's case or just a smaller number in Biden's case, the US Espionage Act states that anyone who, through gross negligence, allows sensitive material to be removed from its proper place of custody or delivered to anyone in violation of his trust or to be lost, stolen, abstracted, or destroyed could face a fine, a 10-year minimum jail term, or both. Let's see how this pans out and see how double standards come into play when it comes to the prosecution of both Trump and Biden on the issue of having classified documents at home for both of them. If they were smart, Biden will probably they should both just be dropped. Both be dropped, because it's going to be egg on the face for both of them, and both of them are going to use it to their advantage come the next election. Crazy stuff. Coming up next, the news from the week that you may have missed.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support, or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Hey guys, Kieran here with the Antiques and Alternate Show, playing you Aussie alt and older antique songs. Join me 6 to 7pm Fridays for a bit of fun and a fresh new quiz every week. Tune in then.
Follow The Troy Murphy Show on Twitter. Search Troy Murphy.
Ponder this. When someone tells you that you made their day, it also makes your day. Checking the weather tomorrow, Friday, will be a partly cloudy day with a slight chance of a shower. The winds will be strong, southerly 50 to 25 kilometres per hour, turning southeasterly 20 to 30 kilometres per hour in the afternoon with a top temperature of 24 degrees. Cooler, but windy. The weekend, Saturday, partly cloudy, tops of 25, and on Sunday, an 80% chance of showers with light winds and a top temperature of 24. Now, I did not know this, but when the weather report says 80% chance of showers, it doesn't mean 80%, like 80% out of 100 chance of actual rain. It means 80% chance of rain, or there will be 80% of rain in the reported catchment area. So in Sydney, 80% of the area will get rain. Monday of next week, showers and a top temperature of 24 degrees.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under the news story you have missed throughout the week. A former judge, oh, this is outrageous, who used a self-pleasuring device on himself during trials whilst at work, was sentenced to 4 years in prison this week. The Oklahoma judge spent 23 years on the bench and was allegedly caught using the device under his robe. His former court reporter told authorities that she apparently saw the judge use the device on almost a daily basis during an August 2003 murder trial, which saw a man accused of shaking a toddler to death. That's disgusting. He was convicted of 4 felony counts of indecent exposure in Creek County courtroom this week and was also ordered to pay a $40,000 fine. Kind of tempted to make a raising the bar joke, but that would be in poor taste. Also in the news this week, James Cameron is now responsible for 3 of the 6 highest grossing films of all time. Avatar: The Way of Water has now generated more than US$2 billion at the box office, which officially makes the sequel the 6th biggest film of all time. The adventure flick managed to surpass Avengers: The Age of Ultron and Frozen 2 earlier this month. The top 5 ahead of the second installment are: number 5, Avengers: Infinity War; number 4, Star Wars: The Force Awakens; number 3, Titanic; number 2, Avengers: Avengers Endgame; and number 1, I think I gave it away, Avatar. The number one and number six Avatar movies. So I think that he's now made his money back. We'll be definitely getting a third and hopefully fourth installment. Or what were they saying? I think I read somewhere that it was like 10 installments or something crazy. Anyway, I still haven't seen it yet. Got to go and check it out. Staying in the US, a committee has proposed that longtime black residents in San Francisco should receive up to $5 million, which is about $7.1 million Australian, each in a one-off reparation payment. Despite California never being a slave state, it doesn't stop there. The proposal also includes the creation of a comprehensive debt forgiveness program, which would eliminate credit card and other debts alongside student and housing loans. And that qualifying low-income houses should have their income supplemented to match the city's median income of $97,000 for the next 250 years. To qualify, applicants must be 18 or over at the time of proposal and have identified as black, as a black American for at least 10 years on public documents, along with several other requirements. When will this stop? Talk about throwing money at a problem. Look, I know the intention for all this is good. Black people in the US have not had it as easy as other people, but throwing five, how much is that going to cost taxpayers? And where does it stop? What about the indigenous people of US? But once you set a precedent of this, marginalized people getting gigantic cash payouts, $5 million each, where does it stop? I bet you the next marginalized group are going to go, what about me? And finally, oh, this is exciting. Dolly Parton, Cyndi Lauper, Gloria Estefan, Belinda Carlisle, and Debbie Harry have teamed up. Oh, this is so good. Have teamed up for a song called Gonna Be You for the film 84 Brady. Don't know much about the movie 84 Brady. It's coming out soon. But the legendary stars have come together to record the song, Gonna Be With You, that was created by Diane Warren. And it's said to come out on February 3rd, which is not far away. I am so excited. The songwriter, Diane Warren, revealed she wanted to bring together some of the most iconic stars of the 1980s to sing about friendship. And when you have Dolly Parton, Cyndi Lauper, Gloria Estefan, Belinda Carlisle and Debbie Harry singing together, you have just done that. This is going to be iconic. You know, I don't play music on the Troy Murphy Show, but I think I will when that comes out. I will be playing that big time. I hope it's good. Then again, I don't care if it's not good. To have these iconic women of music coming together to sing, doesn't matter if it's bad. It could be out of tune. It could be a crap song. Just them together is enough star power to make it iconic. Coming up next, stick around because it turns out, oh, you're going to want to listen to this. Bringing cake to the office is as bad for workers as passive smoking. We discuss that next here on the Troy Murphy Show.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hi, Kirk Pengilly from INXS here. And whether it's music, sweet things, puppies, movies, we all love our treats. But our eyes need treating too. 300,000 Australians, including me, are affected by glaucoma. Diagnosed early, glaucoma can be managed. Left undiagnosed, it can cause blindness. So treat yourself by treating your eyes to a simple test. Book your test at treatyoureyes.org.au today.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
SRFM, the home of the Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. You hear people complain about self-checkouts so often, but never hear people complain about self-service petrol stations.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under what? Let's look at an article that was published this week that has the headline, "Why Bringing Cake Into the Office Is As Bad for Workers as Passive Smoking." It reads, "An international watchdog has found bringing food into the workplace is as harmful to colleagues as passive smoking." Professor Susan Jebb, the chairwoman of the UK's Food Standards Agency, has argued that passive smoking inflicts harm on others. Well, that's a fair statement. But then she continued by saying, "And exactly the same is true for food." Professor Jebb said that bringing in cakes and other junk food encourages poor eating habits. She said, and I'll quote here, "If nobody brought in cakes into the office, I would not eat cakes in the day. But because people do bring cakes in, I eat them. Now, okay, I have made a choice, but people were making a choice to go into a smoky pub." She continues, "We're smoking after a very long time. We have got to a place where we understand that individuals have to make some effort, but that we can make their efforts more successful by having a supportive environment. But we still don't feel that about food." What? Talk about projecting your own faults on others. You know, I am a firm believer of less rules, not imposing bans, giving people the option for freedom of choice and freedom of expression and freedom to do things. Let there be cake. Don't ban cake. Put the fork down. Just because it's there in front of you doesn't mean you have to eat it. It's this little thing called, what is it? That's right. Willpower. Comparing passive smoking and junk food consumption is a bit of a stretch. And I'm not the only one who thinks it's a bit of a stretch. Senior dietitian at Nutrition Australia in the ACT, Leanne Ellison, has come out saying exactly the same thing, criticising the opinion of Professor Susan Jebb, you know, the chairwoman of the UK's Food Standards Agency. Oh my God, what are they doing there? What research did they do? Or is it just feeling an opinion? Because it's a watchdog, an international watchdog, and their conclusion is bringing food into the workplace is harmful to colleagues, is as harmful to colleagues as passive smoking. Should we bring cake to the workplace? Yes. Should we also bring healthy options to celebrate alongside cake? Yes. Should we, like Professor Jebb say, get to a place where we make some effort to have a more supportive environment, promoting healthy lifestyle? Yes. But the junk food to passive smoking link? Close, but no cigar. Pun intended. It's not like workplaces, especially corporate offices haven't been doing this for years. You know, my experience of the corporate workforce, most places have plenty of fruit bowls for staff to snack on. There's also incentives to go and do joint exercise groups. There has been the push for healthy living. I think a line has to be drawn when it comes to workplaces having to take responsibility for personal choice. It's not like someone is going to get fired for not having a slice of cake at Martha's workplace birthday party. Good old Martha in accounting. It's her birthday. We bought cake. Eat it or you'll be fired. That's not happening. What is happening is your ability to say, oh, that's okay. Happy birthday, Margaret from accounting. But I won't be eating the cake today because, you know, calories and stuff. Personal responsibility is what should be linked to cake and junk food being brought into the workplace, not cigarettes and passive smoking. Hashtag rant over. Stick around, coming up next. JK Rowling and her transphobia is back in the media. So we're going to jump on that bandwagon. Haven't publicly shared my opinion on this before because I wasn't on radio when it happened. But because it's back in the media, let's jump on that bandwagon. It's coming up next.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SR.com.au homepage program guide.
Ponder this. The first sip of coffee in the morning is one of life's finest moments.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under, let's jump on an unpopular but popular bandwagon issue and side with the unpopular opinion. Yep, I'm going there. That's what we do here on the Troy Murphy Show. A Canadian trans artist has made news this week after ripping off J.K. Rowling's name from the Harry Potter books and replacing the cover for fans who'd rather have the book without the author's name on them. The artist said in a January 4 TikTok video that they are a trans artist and bookbinder. The video showcases the process of rebinding the books and involves the cover and a page with Rowling's name on it being torn out and replaced. The artist sells these books, the full set of 7 Harry Potter books, for $1,600 Canadian, but people can also buy single books in the series for $230 Canadian. In the TikTok, they state that their aim is to, the aim of this project is to engage critically and give an option to people who still want to enjoy Harry Potter without, and I quote, supporting J.K. Rowling. Reality check here. Someone had to buy the book in the first place, so J.K. Rowling still gets her cut. But it also turns out that this trans artist is not in violation of any copyright laws by doing this, but could be involved in a trademark claim. Although a prominent solicitor who has commented on this video has said that it would be very tricky for Rowling to prove it, and probably not worth it. Anyway, Rowling is rich. She doesn't, you know. But if she did it, she'd probably just do it to put a stop to it. But then again, that would just be a PR disaster if she did. But this is where I want to jump on a bandwagon issue. I've never discussed this before publicly because when this all happened, I wasn't on radio. So now that I'm back on radio and this is in the news, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. And the bandwagon issue is whether J.K. Rowling is transphobic or not, because this is the claim. This is the claim that many are coming out there saying that J.K. Rowling is transphobic. That's why she shouldn't stop. So she shouldn't be supported. Why many actors? There is a actor Sebastian Croft who is in the Heartstopper series. Who's I don't know if he's openly gay, but he's definitely. I think he is. He's in trouble because he's going to be voicing a character in an upcoming game, and people are giving him hell for that. Even though he was booked for the gig like 3 or 4 years ago before this all came out. Anyway, it's always drama when it comes to J.K. Rowling. But I wanted to take a look at the facts. Because, you know, that's what we like to do here. Look at facts as opposed to having decisions ruled by feeling. And for this, we head to the dictionary. So we base this conversation, like I said, on fact. The dictionary says that to be transphobic, one must have or show a dislike or strong prejudice against transgender people. Bookmark that. Has J.K. Rowling shown a dislike or a strong prejudice against transgender people? That is the question. Because if she has, then she's transphobic. If she hasn't, then she's not transphobic. Let's look at the tweets that started this mass pylon of accusation as published in an article by Glamour.com that reads, on June 6, 2020, Rowling retweeted an op-ed piece that discussed people who menstruate, apparently taking issue with the fact that the story did not use the word women. Quote, people who menstruate, I'm sure there used to be a word for those people. Someone help me out. Womben, wimpound, womad, she wrote. The initial tweet garnished a lot of backlash, but the Harry Potter author did not relent and write about her views in more detail. Quote, if sex isn't real, then there is no same-sex attraction. If sex isn't real, the lived reality of women globally is erased. I know and love trans people, but erasing the concept of sex removes the ability of many to meaningfully discuss their lives. It isn't hate to speak the truth, she tweeted. She continues by tweeting, the idea that women, like me, who have been empathetic to trans people for decades, feeling kinship because they're vulnerable in the same way as women, i.e. to male violence, hate trans people because they think sex is real and has lived consequences, is a nonsense. She continues. She keeps digging herself a bit of a problem here. I respect every trans person's right to live any way they feel authentic and comfortable to them. I'd march with you if you were discriminated against on the basis of being trans. At the same time, my life has been shaped by being female. I do not believe it is hateful to say so. There is plenty more tweets and to this saga, but it was these initial tweets that started the hate pylon. So let's stick with that thus far. Is J.K. Rowling transphobic with what she said? Remember, according to the dictionary, to be transphobic, one must have or show dislike of or strong prejudice against transgender people. If this were a court and I were the judge, I would say to the question, is J.K. Rowling transphobic? No. She has demonstrated support, admiration, and compassion for transgender people and has always, in her public presence, negating the showing a dislike in the dictionary description of transphobia. And as for the strong prejudice against transgender people, I don't see that either in anything she has made public. I do see a series of tweets that support biological women. Now, I'm not saying that trans women are not women, but when we look at things through the prism of fact and not feeling, the fact is that there is a physical difference between a biological woman and a trans woman, despite both being women. Now, I do support the trans community, but I also support women who stand up for biological women and the use of language that detracts from their lived experience. You can support both. Was she transphobic in her tweets? No. Was it the right thing to tweet? Also, no. Let's face it, biological women who transition to men and now identify as men can still menstruate. Therefore, the term people who menstruate is valid and inclusive language. Transgender men are men, just like transgender women are women. Should Rowling back down from her stance? Yes, but not in a way that negates her lived experience. How that happens, I have no idea. Will this happen? Well, it's been a contentious issue since 2020, so I doubt she will back down. It's kind of one of those rock and hard place situations indeed. But back to the unpopular opinion. Is Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling transphobic? Look, I see how people might make that connection. A bit of a clumsy connection, in my opinion. But upon looking at the facts at present, I disagree. She is not transphobic. Like I always say, I'm always happy to discuss my opinion, but I'm also happy to have my mind changed if an argument is compelling enough or there is a side of this that I have not considered yet that gets me over the line. And I'm also happy to chat further on this topic should anyone wish to in a civilized manner, even on this radio show. It is, in my opinion, that the only way forward for society is open discussion, not cancelling opinions that don't align with your own. This, and nor does holding an opinion, because, well, that's what the masses are bandwagoning on. Hashtag end rent.
And it's all over, just like that.
And that's it, the Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 6 p.m. for another edition of the... And that's it, the Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 6 p.m. for another edition of the Troy Murphy Show. If you missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving from tonight's extravaganza, you can listen back on demand by clicking the Troy Murphy Show on the program guide that you can find on the 2SSR website. Be sure to follow the Troy Murphy Show Facebook and Instagram. Search the Troy Murphy Show. And we're also on Twitter as Troy Murphy. And you can download the podcast available on iTunes and Spotify if you're on those platforms too. Coming up next, the encore broadcast of The Combo as David Tunnicliffe chats with Sean Jenkinson, the CEO of Ansto, as they convo about what Ansto does, misconceptions people have about nuclear research, and what path Sean trod before becoming CEO. Until next week, bye for now.
Hear what they said on the radio?
No, I missed it.
I had to drive the kids to school.
I was at work.
I was helping with the sausage sizzle.
Catch the latest news updates, listen to podcasts, join us live with the Community Radio Plus app.
Hear what they said
on the radio? Yeah, I was listening.
I was listening in the car.
Yeah, I was listening on my phone.
On the radio? I was listening when I got home.
Whatever you're doing, take us with you. Community Radio Plus, your home of community radio. Download from the App Store or Google Play.